Children, come, the Lord Jesus exhorted his disciples, and indeed this week has been a celebration of children and their exuberance, their cheerfulness, their joy. And I've had to think long and hard about that in the springtime of their life, besides the adults that they will become or something close to that, the boy is the child of the man is a long time saying. And I never really believed that, but I believe that what the Bible is telling us is that's so much true. And I thought about it in my own life, and it was really true. What I imagined as a child is what I have become as a man. And the springtime of our lives does very much decide, not absolutely, but does decide the future for us. And in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God. God has no grandchildren. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, privilege to become children of God. We're not born children of God. We have to be born again to become children of God, because God must work in our hearts and our lives personally by his Holy Spirit to give us new life and to trust him. And we can only do it by faith, believing that Jesus is really there, he's really alive, and that he is a rewarder, one who blesses us. And so we come seeking that blessing. Please bless us, Lord Jesus, with that gift of childlike trust and hope. So anyway, we'll read the scripture. It'll be on the screen. So if you have a Bible, I don't want to discourage you from bringing your Bible by putting everything on the screen. But on the other hand, I want you to be able to see it. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Please pray with me that God the Holy Spirit would be amongst us, and that we each might come with childlike faith, and that he would bless us through the life and death of his Son, resurrection. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you yet invite the children to come. And so as we ponder your word and what it has to say about children, we pray, Father, that you would please humble our hearts, those of us who have grown older and tired with life, or that we have grown older and cynical about the future, that we have allowed our hearts to become hardened towards you by doubting whether you're really there. Soften each heart so that each of us with childlike exuberance might come and sing praises to you and make a joyful noise. That's what's great about children, is they don't necessarily care if they're on key or not. They just love singing. They just love making a joyful noise. And so help us to make a joyful noise unto you, O Lord, because you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, you are our life. Persuade each one by your word that you are life, and help us to joyfully exult in that life, no matter what the difficulties are we face day to day. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us that every child that is born is a gift from God. No matter what the circumstances were surrounding that birth, that nonetheless, behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We celebrate every single child. God is the giver of life. And so we celebrate the birth of every single child. We read again in Mark 10:13, then I don't know who the they was that was bringing, maybe parents, we don't know exactly, but they brought little children. Now, these would be infants, so many of them would be carried. You know, they weren't walking, especially in a crowd and a bunch of people, you know, that there was a whole crowd around Jesus, but yet these babies, these little ones were brought to the Lord Jesus, and then I'm sure older ones as well. They came to Jesus that he might touch them. That's all they wanted, just for him to touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them, told them they couldn't bring them. And when Jesus saw it, Mark 10:14, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Sadly, it was the disciples of Jesus who rebuked the children from coming. You know, it wasn't enemies of Christ. It wasn't those who didn't believe in Christ. It was his own disciples. I mean, how sad that his own disciples, they thought that what Jesus had to say was just for adults. But Jesus said, no, it's for everyone. And throughout our ministry as a congregation, tried to assure that we are grateful to have children with us in our worship service. I mean, obviously, there's a point at which it's distracting to others, and there may be a need to take out a child. But nonetheless, for the most part, we want children here. They are the church of the present. If they're not here when they're infants and with their children, they may very well not be here as adults. And so we welcome the children. We love children. We love life, even as the Spirit of God is in us, the same Spirit of Jesus, that the gospel is not just for those who can rationally think it all through. I'll never forget this one Sunday. I've tried to assure parents, your children, that are sitting here right now, even if they're coloring, looking around, doing whatever, may get more out of the message than you. And that was proven to us one Lord's Day because I made some statement. I forgot what it was. And I think I asked a question, and there was about a 4 or 5-year-old that shouted way over it from this corner and answered the question. There was another occasion in which we had a guest evangelist, I think he was, and he used the illustration, this is an older illustration, that he was going, that sometimes parents had to apply the Board of Education, you know this one, the Board of Education to the seat of learning, you know. And this little kid who was, this little child, you know, he was facing, coloring on the, he spun right around and says, "I don't like to hear that." So you think he wasn't listening at all. He was listening, you know, especially when maybe he'd had a lot of education from the so he knew firsthand what it was all about. But, you know, we think little children are paying attention, and they're paying more attention than adults do. And they understand often better than adults. And so don't ever doubt what a child is learning. It's not all just the mental logic and reasoning. Looking so forward to ministering from the Psalms, and for the most part, Psalms is all, not all about, but it's substantially about emotion, feeling. How long, O Lord, will I have to wait for you to come and meet me and answer my prayer? How long? How long do I have to put up with my own sinfulness? I'm so sick of myself, my own wrestling with myself. That's an emotional phrase, isn't it? My God, why have you forsaken me? It's emotional. There's a lot of emotion in the Psalms. It's not all reasoned thought. I mean, it's reasonable. I don't know. We'll get there when we get to the Psalms, I guess. But anyway, the point being is that, you know, spiritual truth is understood spiritually. It's not just thinking it through. No, I mean, God does reason with us. Come now, let us reason together. So I don't in any way mean to diminish reasoning. But the little children, they sense the spirit of things far quicker than we do often as adults. So let the little children come. The truth is not just for adults. I mean, it's for adults, it's for everybody. But it's for adults so that we might become children again. That's what Jesus teaches us. And so Jesus said, let the children come. For such is the kingdom of heaven, verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. To fail to teach a child about Jesus, and also, in addition to teaching him the truth about Jesus, to also live it out before your children. Because your children remember far better what you live than what you say. I mean, hopefully they remember both, but it's a matter of they're looking at your example. They're looking your teaching by everything that you do, by everything that you say. And so the children are paying attention. They are watching you. And are you ministering to them constantly, all the time, about Jesus? Deuteronomy chapter 6 says Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Talk about our loving Father in heaven when you walk by the wayside, when you're just walking, taking a walk or a hike or whatever you do. Everything that you do, talk about the Father and the loving Father, and can you see his hand here, and can you see it there, can you see it there? You know, we talk about him all the time, that we see his hand in everything, because his hand is in everything. And that's one of the things I'm really excited about in the Psalms, because it underscores that we see our Father's providential hand in everything, and we just become blind and deaf to it, you know. Instead of rejoicing in the Lord, we're to walk with him constantly in the joy of his creation. And so we're teaching them, because Jesus is really alive, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, as the Bible teaches us, but without faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he's really there. God's really there. He's not just in your head. He's not just in my head or somebody else's head. You know, he's really there. He's a person. He's alive. And he's really there. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. You want to prosper in this life? Seek the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in your heart, that's foolishness. And your heart will be broken. Delight yourself in the Lord all the time. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, Deuteronomy 6. When you walk by the wayside, and you as a parent, if you go back to Deuteronomy 6, you have the responsibility to intensively teach your children the truth of God's word, and intentionally, and with purpose, with direction. So you do it casually, but you also do it purposefully and planned. What plan strategy is as parents, especially you as husbands and fathers? Or if there is no husband, you as a mother. What's your plan to disciple, to teach your child? That is your responsibility. Every child is homeschooled. And either your home is a place of living and learning the scriptures, or it's a place of living and learning for yourself. And if you teach your children only to serve themselves, the dust of death is already on them, no matter how little they are. He's life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't ever say, I'm too busy, and I have other temporal goals, you know, my work or pleasure or whatever it is, that I don't have time to teach my children. Let the children come, and you as a parent are to bring your children before the Lord. Pray with them. Pray for them. Raise them in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. Love your children by loving the Lord. Love the Lord more than your children, because you're going to have to fight with no matter how sweet they are, they're going to fight you over some things spiritually. And that's a good thing. They learn to develop spiritual muscles. And you as a parent have to have spiritual muscles to wrestle back and to say, no, you will honor the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, I hope we serve. Joshua doesn't say, I hope we serve the Lord. I'm going to try to serve the Lord. He says, we will serve the Lord. Is that true for you? That in your home, because that's your primary place of worship, not here, in your home, that's your primary place of worship, are you worshiping and delighting in the Lord constantly, all the time? Because he's life. To ignore him is to ignore life. Jesus is the life, as we read in John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning. With God, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. He is life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were, let me get the right translation here. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever or whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He's our life. Look unto Jesus. Because then you'll receive life. We sang it in the praise song. Jesus is my life. I can't remember the rest of the song, but I remember that line. Jesus is my life. He's really the only hope that I have to have a life. We had, and I hope I haven't used these illustrations too many times, but we had a Danish exchange student in our congregation, and he'd been through Covenant Discipleship class, or he'd started it, I guess, but I'd written a whole book, so I got a whole book on training for the Covenant Discipleship, and the first chapter was on the life or something to that. Anyway, Morton comes downstairs and he says, I know how to get a new life. Now, you know, he spoke Danish, and it was always fun because he'd come up with strange things, colloquialisms or things that he'd heard at school or someplace or on the TV. And it was always funny, you know, because, crash potatoes. Have you ever heard of crash potatoes? He liked crash potatoes, and he also liked scrimps and, that sort of thing. So he came downstairs, and he says, I know how to get a new life. And I said, oh, no, somebody's school told him to get a life. And so I was kind of dumb, and I said, what do you mean? And he says, I have to believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's from my book. That was from the class. But he got it, you know. I have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have life. And so, I mean, it surprised me. Here, I was the one that taught him this, and I didn't get it myself. So would you keep your children from knowing the source and giver of life? Now, I know you don't want to do that, or you wouldn't be here today. So I know that's not your intention. But unintentionally, are you living as your own life as if God didn't exist? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't say it out loud. He may profess God with all his might. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, 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 yes. But in his heart, he lives as if there's no God there really to bless him. Do you wake up in the morning saying, I can't wait to see how God's going to bless me with all the problems I'm going to have today? There'll be a blessing. Then it changes your whole outlook. If the problems come from God's hand, aren't they good? You can deal with it if it's from his hand. If it came randomly, just out of the blue, and there was no one in control, that's tough. I don't know how people who don't believe in Jesus can survive. If you believe everything's just random, it just happens, and you're like a ping pong ball just bouncing around like crazy, and no rhyme or reason to it. That was tough. Please do not keep your children from knowing the source and giver of life. We see the strength of infancy and childhood in the scriptures, again from Mark 10:14. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. In the Psalms, we read how, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Our Lord's name is beautiful because he's the source of life and of glory. And it's out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, non-speakers, that you have ordained strength because of your enemies. Why? So that Satan, the enemy of our soul, might be silenced. Who is it that silences, you know, all the great apologists, all the great people who can reason? No, no, it's the little children who are crying in the service. It's good to hear their energy. Now, I mean, you know, we can only take so much of that energy, but nonetheless, nonetheless, it's a joy to hear the squeals and squeaks and off-tune voices of a little child. It silences the enemy, the avenger. Jesus loves children. He gives children. He welcomes children. And in his name, we welcome each child and rejoice in them, because each child is a testimony to our own salvation. Matthew 18, 1 to 4. At that time, Jesus came to the disciples saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as this little child, this infant, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We're to become little children. So there are models. There are models, and so we're to humble ourselves, as we read again in James chapter 4, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter return to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Back in our early days, you know, working in the nursery is an evangelistic ministry. And, you know, back in our early days, we were having a bit of a struggle to get nursery workers, as can often happen. And I remember saying to the whole congregation, "We'll know revival has come when the children are rejoicing in the nursery and those who are worshiping are weeping and crying out to God for their souls, crying out to God for mercy, crying out to God." That's true revival. And then the children will rejoice. When the parents are rejoicing in the Lord, it brings joy to their hearts. It's a grief to any child to see their parents sin, to see them resisting Almighty God. And so we're to humble ourselves. And the child, the little child, is the model. You know, it's a blessing to receive children as well. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name, Matthew 18:5, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me, we read again from the words of Jesus. But it goes on to say, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It is a terrible curse to keep one little child from coming to Jesus. You know, we have been made more aware of what child abuse does to a child. It is soul deadening. It robs them of their the image of God within them. It's a terrible thing, and it can be the greatest obstacle to coming to Jesus, especially if such abuse happens within the context of the church. And so we are grateful for those who have worked so diligently on a child protection policy. We are grateful to you. Thank you so very, very much for your efforts and to bring to bear upon our congregation that we would do everything possible to see to it that such abuse doesn't happen to those under our care. But in addition to that, we have the need of caring for those who have been abused and are possibly now adults and are suffering as a result, suffering in their soul, suffering silently, suffering even in denial of what had happened to them because they just can't bear to face it. And we're thankful that there's been so much within the context of the church to help those who have been abused to heal their wounded hearts. And we as leaders want to be increasingly more capable of ministering to any who have wounded hearts, to minister to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is freedom, that there is hope, and there is the joy of knowing that you are a child of God and that you are loved by a Father in heaven. And so we desire to work as diligently as we can also to bring healing, not just to children, but to adults as well. Let the little children come. Do not forbid them. And by all means, do not place a stumbling block in the way of a little child. Jesus' love is mediated to us through his church. I read this in our officer training last week, and I guess I've believed that, but somehow it struck me in a more powerful way. And I thought about it in my own life. How have I known Jesus Christ? It's been through his church. I was discipled by the church. I love the church. It's not that there can't be difficulties and sometimes hurt feelings. We want to keep other Christians even at a distance from us, out of fear or out of whatever reason. But in ministering to another person just recently, I said to him, really, you're not, what happens in families? Is it possible to raise a child without offending the child? If you think so, please tell me on the way out. Would you? I would like to know. No less a person than Jay Adams says, impossible to raise children without offending them. And I was a little bit offended at that because I was just a new father and I was sure I would never offend my children. Well, of course, no one wants to intentionally offend their children, but the reality is we do offend. Do brothers and sisters offend one another? You don't really belong to the family until somebody offended you. And you get over it. And they're still my sister, they're still my brother, they're still my father, they're still my son. And, you know, what is home? It's where they have to take you in. You know, so there is an element to that, you know, or as my father-in-law used to say, these aren't the kids we ordered, these are the ones we got. You know, so, I mean, I was a little offended at that too, because they were our kids, you know, so that's his grandkids, but our kids. And I thought they're the ones we ordered, you know. Well, I don't know, you don't really order children, do you? I mean, I guess today in our scientific world, you can try to do so. But nonetheless, for the most part, we receive whatever child the Lord gives to us. And the Lord has a great sense of humor to give us exactly the child that will persecute us just so, as we persecuted our parents or not persecuted, but, you know, annoy them or whatever. You know, or so they say. So, or somebody, a child that you would never choose to befriend, somebody like your child, because you maybe purposely avoid them. But, you know, in a family, you learn to love the child God gave you. You learn to love the husband that you didn't know that you got. You thought you married this one guy until you saw him watching a football game or something, and you say, who is this guy? You know, where did he come from? I remember reading that testimony from somebody else. I didn't make that one up. But it's true, you know. I mean, I don't recognize myself sometimes. I mean, I don't want to get this angry. I don't want to get this upset. But I do. And so in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I had to learn forgiveness. My parents learned forgiveness. And I was part of a family. And I love the family. I love you as my family. And so Christ's love was mediated to me through the church, through Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, a whole host of people whose faces come to my attention, come to my view, all of whom are dead. But yet their heart and their spirit lives in me. I pray to live in some of you. And in turn, we'll live in your grandchildren and in generations to come. It's the flow of how God works through the family, through the Christian family we know of as the body of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say, let the children come. Why? Because children are the kingdom of God. In Mark 10, 15, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. We have to become a child of God. I'm so thankful, Jonathan, for you leading the children and singing, Make My Life a Miracle. I'm sorry for those of you who missed it right at the beginning. And now I'm terrible at remembering these words. I've listened to it time after time, you know, on Michael Card's CD. But Make My Life a Miracle, what is it, how does it go? That these two fish and few crumbs of bread, it's all that I can do. I don't know, how's the rest of it go? Make my life a miracle. We want our children to be a miracle because the greatest miracle is being born of God's Spirit. That those who are dead spiritually, that's what the Bible calls us. We're dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. But we rejoice that Jesus Christ gives us a different future. And he says, Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again so that you can see God, see the beauty of it. And it's through his word, and it's within the context of Christ's church that the word of God has been preserved, and it was taught to me. I thank God for the multitude of people who sowed the word of God into my heart. Just as Sunday school teacher, nobody sat me down by myself. Well, I mean, occasionally somebody would sit me down, but that was embarrassing. But just through the regular ministry of the word. 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brothers, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, Doug Kittredge. And you were born of God through the word. And I learned to love the word, and I learned to become independently dependent upon Christ and not dependent on any of my teachers, any of my pastors or whoever. I depended upon Christ. And they're gone, but God's word endures forever. And we bless his name. And so it is God who must cause you to be born again, Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive, or a better translation is he resurrected us with Christ. This is the first resurrection when you're born of God's Spirit. And he resurrected us, and by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That where are you now? You're really at the right hand of the Father. Your body's still down here, but the same Spirit that will fill you in eternity is in you now. You're already seated. You already have a reserved seat in heaven. And so we sit and rule and reign with Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I praise God that you little children, you remember singing that song? Is that Paige or is that Claire? That's Paige. Do you remember singing Make My Life a Miracle? Do you pray that? You don't know? I'm praying it for you. Your mom and dad are praying that your life would be a miracle and that Jesus would be born in you and you'd live. And the same for each of you little children, that Jesus would live his life in you. That's a miracle. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. On your own strength, it's impossible to live the Christian life. In his strength, it's easy. And so we rejoice that your life can be a miracle. Receive him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For those of you who are older, and maybe you've known Christ, but nonetheless, life has encrusted your soul so that you can't seem to sing. Sing off tune, it's okay. I mean, you don't have to sing as loudly maybe as you can, but you could maybe mute it a little bit, but hey, we'll even take however off key you are. And we rejoice. Sing like a child. Jump and run and, do I dare say dance? And it was so fun to, whatever that first song was, man, they really got into it this week, I'm telling you. I mean, they were jumping around and whatever. And it was great to watch you all. But that's the way we are to live our lives, with a lightheartedness. Not dreading every day, but saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I can live for you. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I would be grateful for Pastor Sean to come forward here and to let the little children come. Would you, all you little children, would you come up front so that Pastor Sean can pray with you and bless you? Thank you, Pastor Sean, for doing that. You can decide what a little child is. I mean, you can be a teenager. I mean, you can be an adult, too. I mean, if you want the blessing, you can come forward. So y'all can come if you want, but please come. Please. We want to bless you. Because Jesus is welcoming you with open arms and in his name as the child of our God. Pastor Sean will welcome you and pray for you. Thank you. Don't be afraid to come. Please, 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 please. We pray the Lord's blessings on you. Hey, older ones, come. Come on. It's a joy. It's a joy to see you all in one place. I mean, it's...
joys of heaven and the joys they can experience even in this life and following and walking with you. God, we know that the devil wants to do, just wants to mislead and direct, even to point in any way they can away from you. And so, God, we just pray you protect them. We pray, God, you protect children from harm. We pray, God, that you protect them from falsehood. God, leading them to the truth of Jesus Christ. God, be with our moms and dads. Raise up teachers, God, who will share with them the word of God, that they may have people around them that not only tell them the truth, but show them what it is. And give grace to the parents that care for each one of these little ones. God, would each one know what it means to be a follower of Christ. And each one would know what it means to have a good Christian friend who would build them up in Jesus. That each one would know what it means to belong, to be part of your body. That each one would
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Thank you, Pastor Sean.